After seeing this process of consecration, we all should realize that no one can consecrate himself without Christ. Because the basis of our consecration to the Lord is our hands must be filled with what? With Christ, with his wonderful basket. With the bread, with the unleavened bread, or the wafer, right? And then, of course, we need to be anointed. And then we need to eat the flesh of the ram of consecration. We need to be filled with it. And to eat the unleavened cake. And to be fully anointed. Wow, what a consecration. Can you imagine if you're a person experiencing all this wonderful sin offering, the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering? My. And then the rich anointing of the Lord. You're fully anointed. And you're cleansed by the water of life. You're washed, and then you put on this wonderful Christ. What can go wrong? Vince, tell me what can go wrong. Very hard. You can't think of any reason that your service will go wrong. Then our service will be very well-pleasing to God and acceptable in his sight. And we will definitely be able to accomplish God's plan and purpose. What a vision. Right. After seeing this vision, it doesn't mean that, okay, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be changed. Not right away. But, praise the Lord, we can begin to experience this day by day, week after week. At least we know the way. At least we know how to do it. Now you need to practice it. Praise God. Amen. That's why I read it once a day for 7 days. Remember to do that. Right, we don't need too much explanation already because you all know what it means, right? Even BJ, you know what it means, right? Yeah, BJ has not been very long in the church life, but he has learned all the offerings. Now, when you read Exodus 29, I don't think you'll have any problem understanding. You know what a sin offering is, but you need to bring a big one, a bull. You know what a burnt offering means. You know what fine flour and cake, right? Anointed with oil or mixed with oil, and you know what the anointing oil is. You know all of this wonderful thing, and what a peace offering is. You know, right? So you practice all this, and our bodies washed with pure water, sprinkled by the precious blood, right? And then. You know now, this wonderful garment, which is Christ. It's quite a few layers, right? So we all need to know all of this wonderful thing. And in the heart of the priest should be God's plan and purpose. Amen. Right. The building. We all have to have the building of this wonderful holy city in our heart here, right in the breast. Right. That means you're always thinking about it. You love it. If you love something, you always think about it. Right? You cannot forget. Or if I love something all day and night, I'll be dreaming about it. Right. So you must have that breastplate hanging there, And remember, it's also a pocket. And don't stuff things in that pocket. Just those two precious, wonderful, mysterious stone, Urim and Thummim, right? Light and truth and righteousness is right there. And that is the holy anointing. You know, it's very simple. We don't need to have thousands of teachers. Paul says you have thousands of teachers. Why do you need so many teachers? The more teachers you have, the more headaches. At the end, we'll have a lot of different views, and that will cause a thousand of divisions. If you have 1,000 teachers, I guarantee you, you will soon have 10,000 divisions. Right. So praise the Lord. We are a family of priests, Aaron and his sons. Really wonderful. Right. And then on our shoulders, we have two stones. It's similar stone, onyx stone. And all the names are engraved on the stones, bearing upon our shoulders. Only Christ can bear that shoulder, that stones. Don't bear it yourself. You bear it through Christ. You know, if the leading brothers or brothers taking responsibility in the church, if you try to bear all the saints on your shoulder, you're going to have stiff neck. And then you're going to have backaches. And then the more you bear the burden, the more at the end you'll be walking like this, and the two stones will fall off your shoulder. Because only Christ as our great heavenly high priest is capable of doing it. That's why we have to do all things through him and with him together. Just like the Lord when he was on this earth, he did everything with the Father. Amazing. We have to learn from him. And just like the Apostle Paul, he says, I did so much. It's not I, but Christ in me. Who is speaking? It's Christ speaking in me. Who is doing the work? It is Christ. Learn to say, not I. Praise the Lord. Or would you like to say, I? I am this. I am responsible. My goodness. If you say, I am responsible for the church is in trouble. The church is in trouble. Sorry? Oh, I thought you said something, yeah. So, right. So we need to really see this. It's the great high priest. That's why there is only one garment for the great high priest. Aaron and his sons just wore the white robe. That's good enough. We keep ourselves holy, and that's good enough. And then only one can wear that, which is Christ, and we do everything with him and through him and he for us and with us. That's why he's the head over all things. If somebody else became the head of the church, I feel sorry for that church. Because pretty soon that church is going to be that person's church. They will not do what the head says, which is Christ. They will do what the false, the fake head says. So it becomes a fake head with the fake church. At the end, you have a fake church because you got a fake head. Praise the Lord. We have the real head appointed by God. God only appointed one head, which is Christ. Head over all things to the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to learn this. Now let's come quickly to the last point, the duties of the holy priesthood. Number one, do not drink intoxicating drink. Don't drink wine when you're serving. Just like there's a law, when you're driving, what? Don't drink, period. If you drink and drive, it's dangerous. You're going to kill people. You're going to get into accident. And you're going to cause a lot of traffic and trouble in the freeway and on the street. And you're going to drive into somebody's wall. Yeah. And then you're going to drive over some people. Those crossing the street, you're going to drive over them. You're going to kill. You may say, I didn't do it intentionally. Intentionally or not, the person is dead. It's not called murder, it's called manslaughter. And you are responsible because you drank. You are not sober anymore. That's why if we are drinking the wine of the world, you're thinking about something else while you're serving. Right? Or you're concerned about some other things when you're speaking. Or you cannot concentrate anymore what the Holy Spirit wants to say. Remember, at the very end of the Bible, it is, whosoever has ears, let him hear what a speaker has to say. Know what a pastor has to, know what the brothers were sharing, know what the Spirit is sharing. Hey, the speaker must speak what the Spirit wants to say, and the listeners must have ears not to hear what a brother is saying, but what the Spirit is speaking. That is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the prophets can share two or three, and everyone should say amen. Should discern. Discerning what? Is he speaking out of himself or is the Holy Spirit speaking? Is it Christ speaking? We all need to. Don't just say amen all the time. Amen, amen. Even before he finished, you say, already say amen. Well, this is terrible. Right, no wonder the leading ones all just say anything they want because they know you're going to say amen anyway. There's even, I know even a person whose name is Amen. That means whatever anybody says, he hears amen. Why? Because my name is Amen. Goodness. No, no. Don't do that. But don't be critical either. I want to criticize whatever things false, not true, and according to my concept, my understanding is no, don't. We are not for that. We don't have a critical spirit. But we have a discerning spirit. The discernment is from the Spirit, from the Lord. You have to be a spiritual person to discern. Critical spirit is, you want to criticize everything. You think you know everything, and what are you talking about? I do not understand, and I do not agree with what you say. Well, this is to have a critical spirit. Yeah. Don't have a critical spirit, amen. But have a discerning spirit. Amen. Right. So both the speaker and the listener. Don't drink wine when you come. If you are an intoxicated listener, you'll be a jolly good fellow. Saying amen to everything. You agree with everything. You agree with everybody. You're intoxicated. You're drunk. Don't do that. So, All those verses shows we must be sober. Yeah, we have to be sober. Today, many Christians are not sober, unfortunately. Right. I don't want to be critical, but I want to be sober. I want to bring everything to the Lord. Right. Paul says, test everything and keep that which is good. Right. And then in the house of God, you have to realize, when we come to the feast that is for the worship, right? Three times a year, everybody has to come, right? To bring an offering to the Father. That is wonderful. That is for the worship. Those offerings, you cannot eat it at home or anywhere or share it with anybody else before you bring it to the house of God, to Jerusalem. This is the law, okay? I didn't make that law, okay? Don't blame me, huh? But there is a daily offering, two lambs, one in the morning, one in the evening. There is a daily offering that a priest who attending to the temple must do. Early in the morning, early in the evening, daily, continually, forever. Why? To remind the priesthood that the house of God is for God, not for you. It's not your church. That is why in many denominations, it became the pastor's church. It's my church. What are you doing here? You're stealing my sheep? Why did you come here to our meeting, huh? Godwin, what are you doing here? Go to your own church. You're coming here to steal my sheep? All of a sudden, it's my sheep. No wonder he's so fat, he's eating the sheep. No. I know the brother whom a lot of people respect says, without my ministry, where would all the churches be today? And all the churches must listen to me as if the church belongs to him. And all the churches must read his book, and all the churches must do what he says. That man has not offered a burnt offering in every morning and every evening. At the end, not only the church there became his church, but all the churches on the earth, in the Far East, in Europe, in Africa, and everywhere in America became his churches. That's why one day I wrote something. I said, you might as well call it the Church of So-and-So, because everybody must listen to him. He became the Pope. So whose church is Vatican? You ask the Pope. He was, I'm sitting on the throne. Of course, it's my church. So at the end, it became somebody else's church, and it all turned into something else. In the beginning, it is the Father's house. At the end, it is your house. And this is terrible. This is terrible. Right. So at the end, it is somebody else's church. Don't do that. So the Bible says there's a daily burnt offering continually, nonstop. If the priesthood doesn't do that, pretty soon it's going to be Aaron's church. Yeah. And then the priest have to prepare the showbread, the food for the priestly family to eat. There's a golden table there. Praise the Lord. That's why we have the Lord's table. The Lord, after he accomplished everything, what did he do? At the end, he established the table. He prepared food for us. And who is the food? He became our very food. So what kind of food are we preparing? It must be Christ. It must have the same recipe. The same drink, the same recipe, the same bread from heaven. Right? The Lord prepared a table with the bread from heaven, and I prepared a table with the bread from my kitchen. It's not the same bread. And then we say we come to the Lord's table. No, it becomes we come to your table. Now, whatever we prepare in the house of the living God, for God and for the priesthood, must be the same bread that came down from heaven. Amen. But we don't have that feeling or that, I would say, seriousness in preparation. Right? After you eat the table, what do you do? Just leave the dishes there and everything and crumbs here, crumbs there and all the oil here and that, you just throw it there. Do you do that? What do? Clean it up. Clean it up. We have to learn. This is the Lord's table. You will say, well, this is wood. Well, yes, of course. We don't have a golden table, okay? I'm sorry. This is not overlaid with gold. I don't know. Maybe we should do one. But no. But spiritually, we have to have an inward realization. This is, we call it the Lord's table. And in figure and in type, it is a golden table. It is holy. It is anointed. It is divine. It is not just a wooden table. And so when we break the bread, praise the Lord, it signifies the body of Christ broken on a cross for us. It's not so simple. Right. So we have to do it by faith with the deep realization what we are preparing is holy. Right. And don't rush when you eat. How fast do you eat? Too fast. You know, when I eat, I like to enjoy what I'm chewing, what I'm eating. No. I will have indigestion. How many times did I tell the brothers, if you pass the bread, pass it slowly, and don't follow it right away with a cup. The people didn't stop chewing yet. You already have to cup them. You don't eat like that, do you? When you eat lunch and dinner, do you eat like that? You like to eat with prayer. When you are chewing the bread, you're reminiscing, Lord, you are the bread of life. I want to enjoy your humanity. I want to experience your humanity. Lord, and remove all the leaven that is from me. Yeah. I appreciate the humanity of the Lord. But even, I just started to pray, the cup is there already. Oh. And I don't have any place to put my cup, so I might as well drink it. That is why I'm using this little time to help everybody. Then I say, slowly, brother, slowly. How many times did I say that? A few times, right? Slowly. But I don't know why you're in a hurry. Do it in a holy way. Do it slowly. Right. We can even wait until the bread is passed. Give the saints a little chance to really pray, communicate with the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Think about how the Lord's body was broken, why he paid such a great price to become the bread from heaven. Don't think his incarnation is simple. No, his incarnation is really amazing, especially God becoming a man. Can you imagine? Limiting himself and not even have a place to be born. At least you were born in a hospital. He didn't. He wasn't born in a hospital. He was born in a manger. No other babies there except pony, maybe, or sheep, or whatever. What kind of a manger it is. Lowly, I'm becoming a slave to serve you, even to die for you. What a wonderful bread. And he went through all kinds of sufferings to produce this wonderful unleavened bread for us to enjoy. It's very good to give the saints a little time to consider and to pray and to give thanks to the Lord. So, to prepare the showbread and then to keep the lampstands burning, that there should be always light and a living, bright testimony to attract people and to give light to all those firstly in the house. And then to give light to the world. But if we cannot even give light amongst ourselves in the house, oh, by the way, in God's house, don't be afraid to waste electricity. And God's light doesn't need electricity. Right? Christ is the Lamb and God is the light. Right? So, praise the Lord. There's so much light there. But then we need the oil in the Lamb, the Holy Spirit. Make sure the oil, the Holy Spirit is always fresh. You know, if you keep the oil too long, it becomes stale. Rancid. Stale. God doesn't want any stale oil in his golden lampstand. It must be fresh. Right, so the priest must really gain fresh oil every day to keep the lampstand burning, and the light must shine forth. You have to picture that in the holy place, there's no windows. There's no natural light will shine in unless there's a big crack, either on the ceiling or on the side. Right? But in God's house, there's no crack. You'll find a lot of crack in my house, but not in God's house. So we need light, and this is the divine light. Remember the lampstand in Zechariah chapter 4. Constant fresh oil from the tree itself, and then pressed and constantly through that small pipe getting into the lampstand. Right. Praise the Lord, and then burning incense at the golden incense altar. Our brother was asking me concerning, what does it mean, common fire, Nadab and Abihu? Burning incense with strange fire. Strange, you know, whatever I am naturally is really strange. You can call me Brother Strange. Because we're all naturally strange. Right? The only person that is not strange is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is not strange. Right? And there, Nadab and Abihu certainly was drinking some wine, and they were not sober anymore, and they just forgot what God told them, what Moses just told them, what to do and what not to do. They ran into the sanctuary and start to burn incense. Where is the fire? Oh, here's the fire. God says the fire from the burning of the incense should come from the fire from the altar outside. Must be the fire from the burnt offering. You cannot use any other fire. And that fire should never go out. It is the divine fire. But I'm using my own matches. And today it's even that's used for cigars, not for burning incense. If you know what I mean. You think God will accept that? God was angry and God sent his fire down and consume Nadab and Abihu. So we must learn to use our spirit when we pray. That's why Jude says, pray by the Holy Spirit. Praying always by the Holy Spirit. That's what Jude tells us. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, praying at all times in the Spirit. And of course, with the Word of God. Knowing the will of the Father. The incense, there is a sweet aroma. It's different than those who are praying outside of the sanctuary. They can pray any way, it doesn't matter. But as priests burning the incense when we come together, we're praying for God's divine plan and purpose. We're praying for his will to be done. We're praying according to his will and according to his burden. So our prayer must ascend as incense with a sweet aroma of Christ. That's why you need to see in Exodus 30 again how the incense was made. God wants to have a specific incense, and the fire must be from the incense altar, not according to our own. My burden is this, and I want to do this, and you might burn down the whole holy place. Right. So many times we just use our own fire. It's not good. It's not good. But anyway, to burn incense at the golden incense altar, this is the duties of a priest. Of a priest. And then in Leviticus, there are different laws that a priest should pay attention to. There are many laws. But in Ezekiel 15 to 31, these are the essentials there that you should learn, right? To teach God's people here, let us just read here D2, right? To teach God's people what? Doctrines in the Bible? No. Those are teaching at the university. Right? Synagogues teach the law. But when we teach, it is just like the parents teaching the children. This is wrong. Don't do it. It's not a doctrine. We have to help the saints, especially the newer ones, the difference between holy and profane. Right, but what they want to do, it is another thing. I cannot force anyone to be holy. Oh, why not? Well, at the very end in the book of Revelation, the Lord says, he who is unholy, tell him to be holy. Did he say that? What? What did he say? Let him remain unholy. That means don't force him. You cannot force anyone to be holy, okay? God didn't even force you to be holy, did he? Right? If you don't want to, you cannot force. You can cut off people's heads, they will still be unholy. Yeah. The difference, show the saints the difference. What is life, what is not life? Because this is basic. If you just tell them, oh, this is the meaning of that verse, then somebody comes and tells them, no, this is the other meaning here. And you must not be so narrow. You have to be open-minded. This may be okay, but that is also okay. What are you going to do? How are you going to discern who is right? Mo says this, Sam says that. And Mo says, no, Sam is wrong. Sam says, no, he is not right. My goodness, I'll be tossed to and fro. No. But you sense what is life and what is death. If you have that sense, then you cannot be fooled. If you see what is holy and what is unholy, then you will not be fooled. How come you say you're telling the truth, but your life is in a big mess? I don't believe you. No. Right. So here you can see the difference between holy and profane. How to discern between clean and unclean. What is the spirit and what is the flesh? Paul is saying that walk according to the spirit, that you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Right? He doesn't have to explain so much. Right? Then you have to show in the Word of God, God's way and God's truth. You can never change what is written in the Word of God. And our goal today, especially as the priest, is to prepare all of us for the coming and return of our Lord Jesus Christ so that we will make it to the goal and partake of the coming kingdom. Praise the Lord, to be co-kings with him and to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Or would you prefer to go through the 3.5 years and then after that, the punishment and discipline? That was not what God really wants us and his people to go through. This was never God's intention. But what can God do? You know, the teachers in the school, a proper school, will not intentionally fail all the students. I don't like that student, Sam, there. I'm going to fail him. Will he do that? No. If he do that, you can sue him. Right. No teachers would intentionally like to do that. But a good teacher also will not just have so merciful heart, he will pass all the students. And this is also not righteous. Right? They do that today. They do that today. That is so terrible. There's warp, right? It's warp. It's not straight anymore. Amen. And we already talked about, right, the third part here, to serve and to keep charge of everything of the altar and all the utensils within the veil. Keep everything in a proper order in the church life. Right. Learn. I think you all understand. You're not children. We have all been in a church for so many years, for so long. But just to point it out and to stir it up again in our good memory is good, Peter says. It's good to remind us. Don't say, I know you already know. And you already know that I know, you already know. Everybody knows. I know, you know, I know. Everybody knows. But it's always good to be reminded. Praise the Lord. And of course, the serious warning we should not forget. Right. Nadab and Abihu, Uzzah, even King Uzziah. Maybe you did not know King Uzziah too much. King Uzziah became so proud. He was a good king. He was not a bad king, but he became proud. And he went into, ran into the holy place there and wanted to burn incense, which he has no right to do. But he said, I'm the king, why not? And the priest stopped him. No. He grabbed everything, and before he did anything, he got leprosy. So leprosy, you can know how people get leprosy. You are not regarding the holiness of the Lord. You're rebellious against him. You think you're somebody. God doesn't care if you're a king or you're whoever you are. There's no respect of persons. Don't think you're somebody. No, we are all nothing. The Lord is the great king, and he is God himself. He became a man, even a slave, and he emptied himself, made himself of no reputation. And we are nothing, but we want to consider ourselves as something. We are just strange. That's why I said we are all strange. We are just the opposite of this wonderful Christ. Right. So there's warning. There's warning. And don't think those warning doesn't apply to us today. It does in a spiritual sense, not physical sense. Otherwise, there won't be anybody anymore in your church life. Praise the Lord, yeah? Okay, we ended this conference of holiness. I think all of us are relieved. Now we can breathe. Right, but no, it is right now, it's just now the beginning to practice. It's our turn now to practice. Slowly go through the word, because the word will help us. Now you understand the word. You don't need more messages. You read the word. Right. The more I read the word, the more I realize God will not give me a Bible that I don't understand. Yeah. So just read it again and again. Okay, and the consecration, 7 days, read it 7 times. Amen. Let's pray. Huh?